Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Dialogue Telecom First Quarter 2007 Investor Forum. Incidentally, this is our seventh consecutive Investor Forum 2007. Onto my left is Mr. Juan Zaidan, our CFO, Dr. Hans Vijayasuriya, our CEO, Mr. Supun Veerasinghe, Head of Corporate Planning, and Mr. Sanjeeva Karunathilaka, Assistant Manager, Corporate Finance, to take us through the first quarter results and the future. Dr. Hans, our CEO, will take us through the first quarter presentation now.
A very good afternoon to you. Thank you very much, as always, for joining us. I'll just take you very quickly through how the company performed in the first quarter, but also spend some time on our future directions, strategies, and would encourage, a very interactive session, because the first quarter is always a good indicator of where the challenges lie and where the opportunities lie as well. So we look forward to as many questions and clarifications as possible. To start with, the first quarter, admittedly not as good as we would like the first quarter to have been. There's no debate about that. Dialogue would anticipate at least a 30% growth in top line. And as I go through the presentation, we would touch on some of the, mitigators to what growth could have been achieved. So overall, we ended the first quarter on a note that we need to do certain things better. We need to overcome certain obstacles, and we have to, in a way, reposition our business in order to meet the demands of the external environment or the challenges of the external environment. So looking at our company performance, cellular subscribers, which is the meat of our business, we are happy with. 46% year-on-year growth in spite of a fiercely competitive market. And in spite of a lot of increased competitive activity, 46% year-on-year growth with a large denominator is, I think, something to be very happy about. Revenue, 24% up, but as I mentioned, this is not something we are happy about. We would be aspiring to touch 30 or more higher percentage in revenue growth on a year-on-year basis. Margins, again, not as good as we would like them to be. And similarly for PAT. I think as we go down the presentation, you would see some of the challenges the company is facing, and also classify them as short, medium, and long-term challenges. Important thing is to identify these challenges early, put the strategies in the growth. As you know, 2005 was a year of building a platform for convergence. We are cognizant of the fact that the cellular market needs to be viewed from a conservative point of view and not from the point of view of a huge balloon which is going to go on and on and on. I think we have sufficient experience and knowledge of this market and our consumer to provide conservative but intelligent focus on the growth of the market. And last quarter, we projected that the market would reach 50% penetration by the year 2009 or somewhere in the year 2009. So it's conservative to assume that beyond that, things might slow down, though in other markets they haven't. We've seen continuous growth all the way, 60-65%. But let's be conservative. And therefore, we decided that we would put in place nascent businesses with growth trajectories which would be phenomenal in the same period, 2009, 2010, early 2008 maybe. So that the cumulative effect of the growth curves, whether or not cellular plateaus, would deliver the same growth you're accustomed to see from Dialogue. So we put in place two key strategies, one in the area of broadband and fixed telephony, which comes, and later on in this presentation I'll show you what the opportunity gap is, or the penetration gap, and therefore that indeed 2008, 2009, 2010 would, I believe, deliver a revolution which is very similar to what you saw in the cellular industry earlier on. Both subsidiaries are on track. They are growth businesses. They are in nascent stage of development. So we need to look at the performance of these two entities in that context. They are going into new business areas. They are creating new markets. And they are putting in place a platform for growth in the years to come. So starting with a company performance of 2.565 billion, Dialog Broadband has a marginally positive return this quarter, mainly because Dialog Broadband has been ramped up in terms of its capacity to deliver the fixed phone service, both in CDMA as well as over broadband. But due to spectrum issues and also interconnection issues with some of peer and friendly operators, we have had to delay this launch by almost a quarter. Now, that has obviously a direct hit because your costs are accumulating, your network is running, and we are unable to generate revenues. Now, that I think should be solved in the next couple of weeks. And next time we meet, I'm sure we could show you some results on this. Asset Media, or the pay TV operation, running at a deep loss at the moment, 100 million. But this is a loss which will get mitigated over time with the addition of subscribers. Again, the company is doing well. Subscriber additions are going well. And I'll touch on typical business models for pay TV later on in the presentation. So at a group level, the PAT growth is only 1%. And this is flat. I mean, they're not at a group level, clearly. It's not great news. But what you need to take this in the context of, a deep analysis of the cellular performance, which still contributes 88% of total group, and that I will be going into now. But also in the context that two businesses have been built up, and it's only natural that we need to give those businesses time to start returns. In terms of highlights, I think I won't dwell too much on the numbers themselves because you would have obviously gone through the results which were published last week. And overall, I would say that revenue is the line which we would have liked at the company level. And we would go into that in detail. And even in US dollar terms, things, again, when I'm addressing the foreign investors, the US dollar returns are under pressure because of the devaluation in effect, makes a big difference when you look at ARPUs or you look at EBITDAs. So highlights-wise, again, net revenue, as you can see, growth by 26% at group level and 24% at the company level. Direct costs, 41% at group and 29% at company level. This is on a Q-on-Q basis. EBITDA margins in 2007, 47% at group relative to 54%, and likewise a 3-point dip in the company. And now, all these margin drops in margin I would attribute more to underperformance on the revenue lines rather than, should I say, negative performance with respect to cost. Because the revenue denominator is, I think, what we are really looking at as a challenge at the moment. EPS, however, is going up. And the PAT margins, again, reflective of the dilutive elements, both in terms of revenue and then below the EBITDA line in terms of interest costs, budgeted, primarily not budgeted, secondary has been unexpected in terms of the group capex, however, is going on. I think Dialog has the experience and foresight that macro environmental dips should not lead to a slowdown in infrastructure development. And we are bullishly moving forward in expanding the cellular network as well as building the new businesses in 3G tech network. So there's no quarter being pulled back or slowed down in terms of network rollout. And in fact, there's no official statistic here, but what we have learned is that Dialog's implementation speed and capacity is easily double that of any competitor in the industry today. But this will pay off. I think it will, in a time of economic downturn, of course, it accumulates some costs and might depress margins in the short term. But in the longer run, it is good to have that infrastructure in place, because when subscribers, as I mentioned, doing well and competitive position of Dialog has been maintained, and increasingly, especially in the new markets in regional areas, we've found that we are extremely competitive in terms of our cost structures, distribution strength in which we operate. ARPUs, if you look on a Q by Q basis, the blended ARPU obviously has gone down, because 83% of our new additions are on prepaid. But if you look at the absolute ARPUs, both prepaid and postpaid are stable. These figures are highly affected by the denominator in terms of subscribers, but so that just 40 rupees or 90 rupees in the case, I would call the ARPU behavior stable. But if you look at 4Q to 1Q, ARPUs have actually increased in both prepaid and postpaid segments. Churn, 7.42 as opposed to 11.49 last year. So the fundamentals of the business are improving, in the sense that if you can improve churn on the backdrop of competition. So revenue drivers, as I mentioned, market leadership with a sustained growth in subscribers, 46% year on year, and a pre-post mix of 86 to 14. We have spent a lot of time and effort on coverage and quality of service improvements, increasing the blended ARPU quarter on quarter basis. So the quality of the postpaid customers, the churn rate has gone down, the quality has increased, and that has given us a higher ARPU. And actually, even looking at things on a regional basis, improving churn rates is a very significant challenge, and we are happy that we were able to record it. It's too early to beat our chest, I think, but let's watch it quarter on quarter. But I believe the initiatives we have put in place in terms of channel structure, in terms of customer retention measures, would result in this improvement being sustainable. So if you look at the revenue environment, this quarter has been, or the first quarter has been, quite a difficult one for the company. Intermittent disruption in eastern provinces. The eastern province, especially where a large amount of revenue comes from, even districts like the Ampara district, which you know, is basically a very vibrant and, I would say, southern environment, but it still was intermittently disrupted. The total disruption to the eastern province was around 5 weeks in the last quarter. If you estimate at 7% of revenues, that being. Also, the distribution network was, should I say, disrupted or suspended for a while, and still is, in fact. And this also led to reduced usage by consumers, because they did not. Add to this, tourism going down, which resulted in a decline in inbound tourist arrivals. And this is very directly correlated to our inbound international roaming revenues. International roaming is a small portion of our total revenue profile, just about 6%, but it is a very high margin revenue stream. So any impact to roaming in its absolute form results in a more than proportionate dilution of our margin. However, even in spite of this, as I mentioned, the blended ARPU has performed well in relative to the last quarter. And this is in spite of the denominator being inclusive of northern and eastern customers, but the numerator being devoid of the full contribution of these very same customers. So if the north and east was functioning at full speed, I would have expected, or we could expect, quite a healthy ARPU performance and also a healthy revenue. The company revenue steady, yes, at 24%, but does not meet the aspirations I've looked at, closer to 30% in terms of year-on-year revenue increase. Incidentally, the first quarter is the most lucrative in terms of roaming revenues, and that is why you see such a dilution of quarter-on-quarter revenue performance, because the top quarter for roaming last year versus the first quarter, which is actually the lowest quarter for roaming in the last four quarters put together. Value-added services, 10%, which is a healthy margin. And also, if you look at prepaid revenues, they have grown. The international segment is one where we are number two in the market to relative to Sri Lanka Telecom, but I think year on year, we are gaining market share, we are delivering growth, and now we account for a very large percentage, I would estimate over 40% of international revenues or international termination costs. There have been inflationary pressures on some of the operating costs, and this is certainly something that is a short time frame in which to combat inflation in terms of wage impact, as well as other costs, contractor costs, miscellaneous travel and fuel costs, and to really readjust in a rapidly inflationary environment takes more than one quarter, but admittedly priority at this stage. But there are some other costs, for example, the northern and northeast operating costs, network costs, distribution, maintenance costs, which could not be rolled back in the short term, and I don't believe we can roll them back, because pulling out of that region is not the answer, either to our future business or communication for peace. So we would not be pulling this back, and we could expect that this anomaly would remain until such time revenues return from the northern and eastern provinces. So inflation is basically something which has a ripple effect, as many of you would know much better than I would, to explain the vortex which can take place if you look at inflation, interest rates, exchange. So this is something which, for example, the foreign investors are primarily concerned with. They believe that the company will not be affected at all in the wake of civil unrest. We have proven that. We have proven our competence in this market in the face of uncertainty. But I think the one risk is that the vortex will not be reversed or cannot be reversed in the short term. We certainly hope that the vortex will start more, will be reversed. Direct costs, the ratios are basically affected by the denominator, the revenue. If revenues had delivered, then the costs, direct costs, would have come out at the normal percentage of around 33% to 34%. But the issue is that there are many parts of this network which are incurring costs but not generating revenues due to the externality. Selling costs, however, have performed well. It's down. I'll come to that. Selling costs have actually improved, which again points to the fact that the fundamentals of the business, being able to sell at lower cost against competition, paying results. So the dip in performance relative to revenue is mainly attributable to the company not achieving its full revenue potential for the corporation. Network costs are in line with the rollout of the network, and these are areas which are being, but in the wake of, for example, in the outlying areas, you need to spend on generators and diesel, and when fuel costs go up, then operating goes up, and if your full revenue potential is not being delivered, then you have a dilution of ratio. So this is a challenging area, and we would look at optimizing this as fast as possible. The telecommunication levy is there's a silver lining, I believe, at the moment, and this would be a complete upside to Dialog. The total value of Dialog's entitlement is estimated at 1.7 billion March 2007. This certainly can't be booked at the moment, because I don't know whether the external conditions are conducive to a check being written for this amount, but over time, I believe, over the next few years, I think Dialog can recover this amount. But nevertheless, this has, unlike many others, we have charged this fully to our books and also to our cash. So it will be a total upside in terms of the P&L impact, as well as the OPEX as a percentage of revenue has been maintained in spite of, on a quarter-to-quarter, 4Q to 1Q, in spite of the inflationary conditions, but has increased by 2 percentage points vis-à-vis the first quarter of 06. This is something which we need to study in a little more detail, but when it comes to wage inflation, it's something I think that you can't claim is reversible, because wage inflation comes with macro inflation and also the need to maintain a good human resource, and Dialog's wages are 6% of total revenue. But nevertheless, inflationary pressures on fuel, transport, maintenance, etc. Need to be addressed. As I mentioned, selling expenses improved by 2 percentage points, and this is in spite of the company delivering 46% year-on-year growth in subscribers and a reduced churn rate. So the selling PAT and EBITDA, again, a drop relative to the first quarter, of 06, and I would attribute most of this to revenue drop. Below the EBITDA line, adverse escalations in benchmark rates impacting the cost of floating rate borrowings in the short term, and then the negative impacts arising from the weakening of the exchange rate. The exchange rate, for example, to describe a very simple dynamic, the exchange rates dip so fast that dialogue in advance would be the natural reaction for long-term benefit, but in the short term what you get is an exchange loss in the meantime. So we prioritized getting a cash gain in the longer term over a short term. Just one example of a treasury decision that we took, and it manifests itself in terms of longer term. But moving forward, we have, as you know, come out with the rights issue as well as the preference share structure, both which I think are well suited for the company's growth aspirations, its long-term plans, as well as balance sheet. Net asset per share has improved by 11%, and there's one adjustment which was made in the books, which will be corrected this coming quarter, where 3 billion rupees of current liabilities will move to long-term liabilities in the second quarter. This was due to the delay, should I say not delay, but the paperwork involved in signing up our export credit arrangements with the Swedish EKN net borrowing as long-term. But in the very short term, we had to classify these vendor credits as short-term liabilities. So current cash flow, the cash flows are strong, and the net cash flows from operating activities were up 127% compared to the first quarter, which again gave us the impetus to continue with our capex and continue with strong dividend presentation, which should be on the web. And KPI-wise, again, nearly all have been favorable 31st December to 31st March. But by and large, the KPIs are being met. KPIs are being met in on target with what the company aspires to. So EPS has increased 9% to 35 cents per share, and this is under, I would say, stable EPS calculation. As you know, in the first year, there's a lot of complications involved in calculating our EPS, and a lot of questions. Now we answer. The borrowings have been configured with a comfortable maturity spread, and I think our borrowing profile is very healthy. We obviously could gear up even more to the sort of 50% range, but given the macro environment and also the pressures on the exchange rate as well as on interest rates, plus the fact that we are expecting several of our new businesses to flourish in a few years' time, then we believe that this was the optimum time to invite the equity holders back in order to support and to enjoy the payouts which are imminent through the cash flow period of the new businesses 2008-2009. In terms of SBUs, within the Dialogue company, 4% growth in international termination revenues. We have access to the international fiber backbone of CMV3, CMV4, and this will hold us in good stead to deliver a very competitive broadband. Internet, a very small segment within Dialogue Telecom, but expected to grow very rapidly in the broadband context. At the moment, we are at the Dialogue level concentrating on the retail market with a prepaid product which is catching up very fast, and we would extend that. For example, the same kit card, the kit voucher, can be used across internet and mobile. Similarly, eventually on broadband products. We are taking convergence from where it really means something to the consumer, where a single voucher can be used across. So this would give cash flow strongly focused on building the fundamentals, which is our distribution channel, our customer service, and our dealer network, which will. Dialogue Broadband is in a build phase, as I mentioned. The profitability is marginal, but it has been now honed to for the launching of the CDMA network very soon, and also the Vimeo Place and the broadband service up and running. I think it will give a new impetus to the enterprise products of Dialogue Broadband. Asset Media, the first product which have come out with is the pay TV on satellite delivery, but this company also has other assets, the UHF spectrum, which would permit it to do or facilitate it to deliver digital TV, and also digital mobile TV. Digital mobile TV in particular is a target for 2009 onwards, where DVB-H, which is a broadcast version of digital mobile TV, onto a handset which accesses a broadcast terminal. So the first few handsets and the first trials of this taking place internationally, and before too long you'll be able to experience it in Sri Lanka, but certainly the post-2008 era. But satellite TV is catching up very fast, and using Dialog's broad brand strength, distribution strength, the growth rate has this up as fast as possible. So looking at the group, subscriber growth doing well, as in the business operations of the company, resulting in ARPU being maintained on constant levels from a year-on-year basis, but improved in fact on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Several external revenue mitigating factors which impact the top line, which we need to be cognizant of and look at ways of compensating these revenues in the shorter term. There are some uncontrolled quarters. DBN is ready for commercial launch of CDMA-based fixed wireless local loop network, and Asset Media is in the context of being in a growth phase, doing a positive return in the medium term. And we have also optimized our capital structure, borrowings, and enhanced control for forex exposure. These slides I presented even at the last forum, so I will go to just run through them very fast, because many of you, I think, but please do stop me if you want to go into any particular slide, or you can call up the slide later during the question and answer session. So as I said, window of opportunity, 5 million subscribers over the next 2 or 3 years in cellular. This could be enhanced through handset pricing going down, through other reductions in minimum cost of ownership. And Dialog is very strongly positioned to capture a major part of this window of opportunity. We have a very strong and well-oiled machine in terms of and channel strength. So these trends are really important when you are beginning to touch the maturity level. Because when things slow down, then the company with the best distribution, the cheapest minimum cost of it, will win. And when you win in this game, you actually start demanding much higher percentages of incremental additions. And we are looking forward to a very strong share in the cellular market. And in terms of our convergence roadmap, we, as you know, went on a path of bridging the various gaps that we had between being a cellular-only operator and a convergent operator. And I think if you look back just 12 months, and compare Dialog to where it was and where it is today in terms of potential, actually achieved a lot in terms of building very strong foundations from a cellular only to actually being a serious player in the quadruple play market, a player with serious potential and serious capability. And in quadruple play, again, though the technologies, you know, sound fancy and great technologies, again I would place our main strengths to be in distribution, customer service, and our channel, and of course brands in Sri Lanka. So with a common brand, a strong distribution architecture, then you're really delivering convergence in a form which the consumer can understand. Because if you take Mr. Pereira or Mr. Sirisena somewhere, what is convergence? To them, I think convergence is being able to go to the corner store and have access, and the Dialog is strongly focused on this. We have the technical knowledge, the technical expertise, and the international exposure to actually deliver the technology. And the greater challenge would be to deliver. And this is a graph I put up even last time, that 3G is important, though it does not seem immediately return bearing. It is important to catch the life cycle at the right point in time, and I think Dialog has done exactly this. And you will begin to see the benefits of, we have a strong control over all these technologies, Wi-Fi, WiMAX, HSDPA, UMTS-TD. And broadband, it will see the penetration gap, strong penetration gap, and we have penetration gap. So we believe we are the only operator to have the entire spectrum of access mechanisms in order to provide from cheap to high-end broadband services, all the way to UMTS-based, that is 3G-based broadband, which is either HSDPA or PO3G, HSDPA can do. Though it says mobile broadband here, in fact, 3G is being used, for example, in Malaysia, some of the Southeast Asian countries, to deliver in terms of availability. And also, since broadband is a byproduct of the mobile business, then it provides. So broadband, fixed line on wireless local loop, as well as VoIP on broadband, and that would be our model competitors. And this way, Dialog positions itself at the wholesale layer, and then whatever retail market share that we CDMA, given that it's 450 megahertz strong coverage map, can be achieved in the short term, and also the fiber network. So DBN would concentrate on fixed telephony and, as I mentioned, WiMAX, fiber, and expansion of a data and IP infrastructure. The fourth play or media, digital TV, emerging opportunity obviously, and mobile TV is a era. We are betting on this, and we're strongly confident that our market, the South Asian market, will be, in terms of Dialog capturing content agreements with CNN, Cartoon Network. You'll see a few more coming up in the mobile TV space. But we're delivering it on streaming at the moment, suboptimal. Really, mobile TV would catch up once you have a broadcast model. And this, globally, will not be the case until that part of it. And the pay TV presents enormous opportunity, with only 1% of televisions being equipped with digital, very low in terms of penetration. And I think we are putting the fundamentals in place, concentrating on building sufficient number of installation teams, buying possible, training up the teams, and once we have a capacity of connecting 1,000 a day, I think then we would be actually on full steam to achieve this before the end of this year. At the moment, we are connecting around 200 to 250 new connections per day. So Dialog in the media space, fundamentals, brand, I think our brand is going to really cut through the... Just a quick look at how ATV models work, and this has been the case for most. Over time, you need to basically move from a building the market phase where Dialog TV is in today, then to the building profitability benefits of subscriber base. In pay TV, there's very little capex, minimal capex, but very high fixed costs. So you need to buy that transponder space and pay for it on a monthly basis. Similarly, content agreements, when you take HBO or BBC or CNN, they charge you a minimum fee ranging anywhere from 50,000 to 250,000 subscribers. So when you're in that pre-100,000 subscriber area, you're trying to get to the fixed cost line as fast as possible. So that is what Dialog TV is doing today. This is how desperate the run for subscriber base is. Certainly in Sri Lanka, we will not go down to that, because from our mobile business, we know that it is possible to generate mass markets without subsidizing handsets. And we will certainly use that knowledge and experience to avoid subsidizing. Sky in the UK, for example, is in the rich cash-generating position. So how soon can you, or how effectively can you compress this slide? Is it 6 months? Is it 12 months? Is it 18 months? Is it 24 months? And this is something which, as the, I would say, effectively the pioneer network in Sri Lanka in terms of mass market pay TV, we will be able to share with you the learnings as we go forward at this point. And strategy would change, obviously. And today we would be going for current orientation with growth, and ARPUs and profitability is still important but of secondary focus. And once you get this model into the right phase, we would be in a position to move into a focus area. We move on profitability. So looking at the three DVB-T S and H, the three DVB or digital video broadcast standards, at Dialog TV we have a core infrastructure which is common to all three. So a substantial amount of the capex has already been incurred. You just take the feeds out of this core and you pump it along different delivery mechanisms. So the same core can give you mobile TV in the future, it can give you satellite TV as we do today, and also digital terrestrial TV. So in terms of a strategic business matrix, quite a jungle, but I think a well landscaped jungle. High return businesses, also having a good distribution of new and infant businesses, as well as spread between current and immediate returns as well as long-term returns. And this spread actually motivates medium-term financing and short-term finance. And therefore, I would still go for a fairly lightly geared capital structure at this point in time, because the matching in the context of time and the matching of long to medium term on the backdrop of the current external environment, that we do not gear up too extensively at this point. In terms of rights and RCPS, I'm sure you'll have a preference share instrument, and also the managers and arrangers for the rights issue. Raising 20.54 billion in total, and be a part contributor in terms of funding. 60% we expect to go into mobile, then contributions into fixed wire, a significant portion of the cost, because we will be moving the company into a group versus a shared service structure in the near term. So as I said earlier, the listed life of the company was that we envisaged that the best returns for equity holders would be at this payouts as we go forward, and we'll have four businesses or five businesses in cash generating mode in very healthy payouts, dividend yields in the years to come. Also of very great significance is that Telecom Malaysia is taking up all their rights, and that signifies the fact that A, there and also that across the region, that its timing of equity participation is the best in terms of the returns. The preference share issue leverages on Dialog's favorable position in terms of its tax holiday in order to achieve what is essentially a low-cost form of funds, which classified as equity would be a formal definition. But at this point in time, we really need to harness low-cost funds on the backdrop of, plus it is rupee denominated, so it's protected against any devaluation. So that brings me to the end of the presentation, except for the detailed features. So feel free to either draw back on the presentation, any part of it, or any questions that you might have.